Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Dr. Homebrew. We are here late December. It's almost a new year, fellas. It's almost 2024, not 14. And I'm excited about it because I think 2024 will be just like 2023, but much worse. For several reasons. One, it's an election year.
You're excited about it being worse.
Well, you know what? You got to embrace the chaos, as the Joker would say. Yeah. I'm basically the Joker of 2024. That's just kind of what's going on. But no, we are back. We got a couple homebrews to talk about. We have a good night of homebrew podcasting. But before we get to that, I want to thank our sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com today, right now, as a matter of fact. The internet is open 24 hours a day. Some would say 25 hours a day. But, you know, who am I to judge? But go over there right now and check out everything you need to know about Five Star Chemicals and their cleaning and sanitizing process, their cleaning and sanitizing products. And then while you're over there, they have a homebrew club program that you can sign up and get a bunch of cool information like new stuff that's coming out. You get to try new products before they hit the market. You get discounts. You get educational content from them, too. So check them out. Fivestarchemicals.com. Join their homebrew club program today. You won't regret it. I promise. Coop and Char, what's up, boys? How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing
Hope
fine.
Merry
doing
Christmas.
Fine. I had this strange man show up on my porch the other morning. It was like really disconcerting to see my doorbell camera, and like this guy just drops a big box at like 6:30 in the morning. And I'm just like, and all I see is this, you know, his hair like kind of, and then and I'll, like his face is blurry. And like, oh, yeah. that was Char. Okay,
Yo, it yes, couldn't be Char because
exactly.
you said you
right doorbell. I guess I didn't want to ring the door, but it was like 6 o'clock. It was like 6:45, 7 a.m. and it's a holiday weekend, and you were just getting back from somewhere, and last thing I wanted to do was wake everybody up. I was glad your dogs didn't start barking. Usually I get to the door and there's barking, and I'm like, you guys are all asleep. I'm just going to be that weirdo that drops a box off at 7 a.m. at your front door, like ISIS or something.
Yeah,
right. Because that's what ISIS does. They just drop things up. And then,
Well, right.
Yeah, dogs bark at Shark because they can smell fear.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you didn't ring it too. So that's cool. I figured it out very quickly.
Thanks for being scared of my dog.
Amazon delivery? What is this?
It's just that guy. I'm going to go back to sleep.
Shit, I opened the wrong beer. Son of a bitch. Well, anyway, John, welcome to the show again, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. You sent us a German pills, but split two different ways, right? Is that what I got here?
I sent you a German pills and a West Coast pill.
A West Coast. Ah, okay. Okay, perfect. I opened the German pills. We're not supposed to be doing that, though. We're supposed to be doing the dry hop one, right?
JP, come on, man.
I fucked up. Yeah, I fucked up. Hold on. I screwed up.
Just push the cap back on, just like I did when I judged these like 2.5 hours ago.
You guys got the last 5 bottles in the keg.
Wow.
I went to go bottle the 6th one for me to drink during the show, and I got half a bottle.
Well, it's better than having none of a bottle.
Absolutely.
Okay, I got the right beer, guys. Thank goodness. You know what I mean? John, are you a big Pilsner guy?
Yeah. I seem to be going that way as I get a little bit older, one later on the palate.
I seem to be going that way as I get older. Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I will tell you that, and I told Char this, and I don't know if Char told Cooper, but when I opened the box and was distributing the beers, there was some dampness, and there's some beer, but there was no breakage. So I think maybe some may be pushed out of the cap, which is interesting because when I just opened this beer, there was no hiss. So I wonder if we might have a little bit of this beer is basically.
We're getting a little preview of our score sheets here.
Yeah. So just noting that for the record.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed the caps nice on this are different from the one with the German pills has more of the kind of standard homebrew cap. And this looks almost like a larger format cap.
It does, doesn't it? It is a little bit like bigger.
The wider crown cap. But I don't
I'm going to be devastated if these are all oxidized on our travels from Vermont, California.
Yeah, I don't know if you can. Well, it's blown out, but like.
That's a little bit difference in size there. That's weird.
It is. It's it's visible by, I don't know, what, a millimeter or two? I don't know.
Yeah, it looks about, I'd say it's about right.
Yeah. You're the engineer, Char. You know what's going on.
Maybe a millimeter radius difference, maybe.
See, that's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to sound too smart. So. Leave that to you. Okay, well, let's get into it then. What do you guys think?
Let's do this thing.
All right, Char, why don't you go ahead and go first, since you're already talking.
All right. Well, John, thanks very much for shipping this all the way from Vermont. I know that, we last time we had you on, I'm sure I asked the question I always ask, but because our listeners probably didn't just listen to that episode, are you in a homebrew club?
I am not. I'm a lone wolf.
You are a Green Mountain Republic guy, a independent Vermonter, and that's a good thing. Vermont's a beautiful, I haven't been to Vermont in like 25 years. It's a beautiful place. I'd love to go back again sometime. Jason had told me when he dropped off the beers at my place, just what he had said about how there was a little bit of dampness, a little bit of beer in the box. I think there were three of these. I think Cooper had two and I had one, which is fine. And when I went to open mine, the cap came off real easily. Like I didn't even really need much of a, I probably could have done it by hand and not with a thing. And the edges didn't seem to be crimped down all the way. Like usually they're crimped down at least like this. And the edges seem to be more out, which probably goes with the cap being larger. It was a very low fill, almost just at the neck of the bottle, not all with the top. So that clearly maybe it was that bottle it leaked out of. I don't know. I'll give you a preview. I didn't get oxidation. I think whatever happened pushed stuff out. And in whatever short time between the time we got these and the time we judged them, maybe it didn't have time to oxidize. But a lot of that bottle, the whole neck of the bottle had come out in transit. So that's just, it's the luck of the draw sometimes. And like with anything, I don't know if you got your caps at the local homebrew store or if you had like a big bag somewhere or what. But sometimes just stuff happens where you got different caps. Stuff happens at the manufacturing or distribution end where sizes get mixed, especially if they're that close. So it's unfortunate, but we still appreciate that you sent this out, and we're still going to give you some good feedback on this. So the aroma I thought was fantastic. This is a fresh tropical fruit aroma that just dominates the whole thing. I didn't get oxidation or off aromas at all. So whatever happened to this, it seemed stuff got pushed out, but bad stuff didn't seem to come in. So that's, if it's going to happen, that's the way you want it to happen. You answered before we kind of the introduction, these were two different batches. I was initially thinking maybe you just dry hop. You had the same batch and one was dry hopped and one wasn't. And that was going to be a question that I had because the hop character is so different. I was thinking, how did you get this to be so harmonious with the hops being so different? But the hops weren't different, but it's a good choice. It really, it comes across really fruity and pleasant without being, overwhelming or maybe, double IPA-like. There's a malt aroma at a low level. Again, no off aromas. Give the aroma 9 out of 12, but the aroma was fantastic. Appearance, it's crystal clear. It's, always hard to tell on Zoom. It was, to me, kind of a medium gold color, which is darker than expected for style. And there was zero head on this at all. So appearance 1 out of 3. Flavor, the same tropical fruit character that was in the aroma was in the flavor of this beer. It starts off at a medium level. Bitterness comes up to medium and mid palate to balance. Malt flavor overall was low, which is fine. Thought it was well attenuated and balanced. It was not, the lack of carbonation, with any beer is going to cause some effects. And I think that it would have been, it would have benefited the flavor and lifted up some of the malt character more had it been carbonated. But you know, it is what it is. I think it was still a solid 10 out of 20 on flavor. For mouthfeel, body's medium low, right where it should be. Slight warming. That may have to do with the fact that it's the second beer that I tried. The warming always has a lot more to do with sequence, I think, than it does with the actual beer itself. Unless you're judging, you know, a flight of Imperial Stout, in which case they're all going to be warming. It's neither creamy nor astringent. Gave it a 2 out of 5 for mouthfeel, predominantly because of the lack of carbonation. Overall impression, 4 out of 10 for a total of 26, which is still in the good range. And it's, I really think this was something that would have been fantastic to drink had it come through carbonated the way that it should have been. You know, I like your German pills really well. And I suspect that your process is good. Your packaging overall is good. I think you just maybe got a hold of some caps that were not quite standard, you know, probably not even realizing it because they're so close. And that had some deleterious effects on the product. But hopefully one of these times we'll get a chance to have it, or another one that you make similarly that has the right size cap on. And we still really appreciate you sharing that. So thank you.
Very good. Cooper.
Okay. Yeah, I had two bottles, as Char said. And so I tested one out there after I had opened the one last night. I had the exact same experience as Brian did. The cap just kind of took itself off almost. It was just like no effort at all, no hiss. And I went and checked one of the bottles I had in the fridge out there. And I went to see if I could rotate the lid. The crown cap on the one I tested, the first one I tried, it was tight. And then so I brought out both bottles. I opened the one that was tight, but this one I can actually just rotate, lean around. It's
wow. Oh, you can just spin it. It's not missing burly, calloused hands.
I can spin it with my hand. It's not missing anything in the top here. And then, when I opened this one, it's the same beer, but it's expressing itself a lot differently than the one last night. And it's a fresher hop aroma coming through much more brightly, but the same notes, just they were much more subdued last night. And I poured it similarly cold. And so it's not like warmed up or anything, or there's no real difference, just the cap. So I'll give my impression of what I judged last night and versus what I'm getting here now on this one. There was absolutely no hiss on the one last night. Wasn't sure if the cap was crimped on right. It came off really easy. In the nose, I got a pleasant perfumey, floral, and lemony hop character at a medium low level. I would say this is more towards medium to medium high on this sample. It just is expressing itself much more brightly. Low cracker-like, fairly neutral malt. That's the same. Neutral yeast with no sulfury notes, no obvious fruitiness. It seems cleanly fermented with no DMS. I likewise didn't get any oxidation, no diacetyl. The aroma, you know, last night, I just said it's light, but it's inviting. It was just kind of subdued. I think that, you know, fresh hop aromas are probably one of the first things that's going to fade with a little bit of oxidation. You might not go straight to paper or cardboard, but it is going to very much dull that bright aroma. Appearance wise, it's a light yellow straw color, you know, kind of towards dark straw. A great clarity to it. It's really well clarified. On that one I looked at last night, and this one, if you look at it, it's still holding up the head. Last night it fell and it had this kind of oily, odd kind of glassy looking bubbles and oily look to it. Maybe I thought perhaps from the hop oils, but it was just a low white head that just faded almost immediately after pouring.
So weird.
It did push up a little head, so it wasn't completely non-carbonated. It was just very limited carbonation left in it. I gave it a 2 out of 3 for appearance last night, but I'd probably give this one a 3 out of 3. Had a very low head, and this one's holding up fine. It's actually pretty good retention. I've been, you know, Brian went through his whole sheet. Mine still has somewhat of a head cover here.
Yeah, it's I just didn't have any head at all. It's just, You were lucky to have some.
Yep. In the flavor, that's got a nice low maltiness with a clean, crackery, white bread-like note. Last night I noted it was a bit light in flavor overall. The hops came out just slightly over the top of the malt. But in this case, the malt is still fairly neutral and base malt, white bread-like, but the hops are coming through much more pleasantly, much more cleanly and brightly, getting that lemony little, very nice citrusy, little resin, some perfumey, floral notes in there too. Really nice hop character. And a little tropical, like Brian said. Yeah, I would say I would adjust this up probably a couple points. I gave it 12 out of 20 for flavor. So the balance is to the hops and a little bit more so in this case. It finishes dry. I got a lightly minerally water quality. The pretty good hoppy aftertaste in this one. It does, the hops linger nicely over the clean malt that's here. The bitterness is low and out of the way. So I probably bumped that out to up to a 14 or so for flavor, 14 or 15 even. It's actually quite pleasant the way it is now. I could probably drink this whole bottle, but we have a lot of other beers to get to. light bodied in the mouthfeel. Within the lighter end for style, I would say that holds here. No astringency or harshness. It was lacking what I kind of like in a good Pilsner is a kind of a crisp quality. It's refreshing and but when it has low CO2, it's just kind of dulled and flat. It tastes like flat beer. It feels like flat beer in your mouth. It doesn't excite you the same way that a good level of carbonation will do. And also, going back to the flavors and aromas in the previous sections, it's not pushing those as well. Man, it's a big difference. I'm noticing a lot. So I would give it another point, at least for mouthfeel here too. So I'm up at least four points so far, 5 points, if I come up an overall impression. Overall, it was, no warmth noted. It was just kind of good middle road, light pills. Well, it's a well-crafted hoppy lager with a pleasant flavor and aroma character. That is there. It was lacking the CO2 to really push those good aromas out. I wanted a hoppier presentation. Now I've gotten that. It did seem watery with almost no life to it due to the lack of proper carbonation. And this is a different animal. I said it would be a different animal with that dialed in. But I still think the hops need upping a little bit. I don't know that I'd say that now. I think that even it's the same exact beer with the right carbonation and didn't lose anything in the bottle and travel all that way and spill out in the box. I don't know that it needs more hops. They're coming through just fine.
Yeah, the flavor hops, I think even the bitterness hops are at a great level.
Yeah. So I was landing at like low 30s on the one last night, like a 32, I would say. And I would go up, honestly, probably to like a 38 on this one. It's
cool.
It's right there. It's just a little, if you want it to play really light and refreshing and, almost no body, not no body, but, it's very light bodied, very dry and, pushing some really nice hop flavors. So I think 38 is fair on this sample. And there's a clear difference. I'm enjoying this a lot more.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got that, Coop.
Let's see what JP got.
My beer is flat. I mean, I'll pour it into the glass. Not to belabor the point, right? But there's just like nothing.
Yeah,
like
we're not beating you up, John. Really, honestly, we're not
for sure.
I know.
No, I'm just fascinated by it. So there's a little bit, and then it kind of comes out, and it's it looks like it looks like the first pour you would get off a draft system when the beer's been sitting overnight. You're like, God, I really want to taste this cold and, with a little bit of pressure. And that's how it tastes to me. It tastes great. I'm disappointed in the fact that there's no carbonation in it, because otherwise it smells great.
Yeah.
It tastes good. I mean, it's a very good tasting beer, and I'm very disappointed that there's no carbonation to like really give it that that pop. It's just cold malt water at this point. But
yeah, I think Coop's right that if we all had that, the bottle like he had that had some carbonation in it, we'd all be landing in high 30s with this.
And easily.
I thought, JP, you would like the hops level the way I tasted it last night. Because the way I'm tasting it now, it's like you would say, oh, this is so over hopped. But it's
see, there you go. Might be good. I'll give it a 42 right now. it's that fruity, almost like vitamin C chewable fruit. Yeah. It's which it, to me is a compliment. It's like candy fruit, but not candy because it's not really that sweet. But it's very good. As it is right now, if that came across, I'd probably go like, I don't know, 30. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. What do you mark off for no carbonation? Everything's perfect, but something like this, let's say this came across your judging table. I know you already gave them a score, but like everything else would be great. If there was no carbonation, you would get, or if there was carbonation, you would give it a 40. What do you take off for carbonation?
It depends on how it affects the flavors and the aromas. And I kind of went through for me how it did. I hope it made sense to everybody listening. Yeah. You know, it did make a big difference in the parent, not in the, in the appearance, also in the flavor. So I would come up a point in the appearance. I would come up 2 or 3 points in the flavor. I would come up a point or two in the mouthfeel and a point in the overall impression. That adds up to like, I'm 6 points above, you know, where I was, maybe even, you know, 7. If you add up all those little fine point, and it's just a point here, a point there, but it adds up to a big difference. So 6 or 7 points, probably fair. It really depends. Some styles are not going to be detracted from as much. If you have a mild that didn't get, you know, oxidized, well, it's not that carbonated anyway.
Old ale. Yeah. It's not going to be a big deal.
It isn't going to be that big a deal, but I mean, it will still affect it. It'll play a little differently, but
I would say mid 30s for me, even no carbonation, because it's that good. I mean, it tastes very good. And the caps, I'm interested to know where you got them. I know working at More Beer, more than once we got caps from the supplier that either they screwed up on and we caught after we bagged a bunch of, or people were like, oh, I don't have this, but I have this one. And someone who was doing the ordering didn't really know. I guess it's fine. And it's like, because they have like a millimeter difference in caps.
Yeah, there's, I looked this up while Cooper was judging. I was paying attention to you too, Coop. But there's the US bottle caps are 26 millimeter. Yeah. European size are 29 millimeters. So it's almost right. Yeah. That's a 1.5 millimeter radius difference. And I guessed it was a 1 millimeter difference. So kudos to me, but no, it's what, like the 29 millimeters are also for like wine bottles, champagne bottles, if you cap those, which are a little bit bigger diameter than a beer bottle. So that's probably somebody mixed up a 29 and a 26.
On the cap, you can kind of see the ridge in the middle. That's where the bottle sits, right? The top of the bottle, but the cap is just bent around it. Yeah. It's curved around. And so, you know, you can see the indentation, and then even in the inside, it's harder to see on the camera, but there's that, the oxygen barrier. And then it has that white border around it. That was essentially underneath the lip, or at least on the edge of the lip of the bottle. Yeah. So they're just too big.
The silver one is the standard cap. And this one, look how much farther down it comes. If you're looking, watching us.
Oh yeah. 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 Wow.
Yeah. You know, on Facebook, but, or on the YouTube later.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's a big difference.
We're YouTubers.
I think of those bottles that have a cork in it, and then like a, you know, and then a corking cap over the cork. That's like that kind of cap.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, John, that only one of those survived well.
Yeah.
I'm glad one made it.
It's a really good beer.
I love the beer.
It is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great beer. It's great beer. Let's talk about it.
Curious what's, how old it is and all of that too, but yeah.
Yeah. When'd you brew this?
So I brewed it on October 24th, and so I bottled those 2 weeks ago.
It's really fresh.
Yeah. And I told Brian that I had reached out to a brewer in the Bay Area after getting one of his beers here in Vermont. It was a West Coast Pils, and I was like, holy crap, this is so different, so refreshing, so light compared to all the Vermont hazy IPAs we get around here. So I reached out to him and I was like, hey, can you help me with this? He just gave me a master class on what to do. So I basically followed everything as much as I could to what he said. This is bring up the recipe. So it's a 10-gallon recipe, and it was 100% Weyermann pills. He recommended raw North Star pills. I couldn't get that, so I used what I had. It's 100% Mosaic hop. So a 60-minute edition for about 10 IBUs, and then a Whirlpool edition, about 27, 28 IBUs, and that's at 180 degrees. And then fermented with 3470 at 55 degrees, I believe, did that. And then after terminal, 3 days after terminal, I dry hop, pounding just over a pound of Mosaic.
Wow. So this is 100% Mosaic.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And he suggested dropping the cone after 24 hours continuously. And I have a Firmzilla, more beer sells them. So I'm able to collect whatever is in the cone of the Firmzilla. And I would do that every day and get the hops out of the fermenter. I think that was kind of key in keeping that vegetal flavor out of there.
Yeah.
Because that they were on... The beer was on the hops, or the hops was on the beer for 7 days before I cold crashed.
That dry hopping. I mean, I can find zero fault with the flavor of the hops or that aroma. Whatever you did, there's no vegetal character. It came across really amazing, despite some of the difficulties with packaging and transit. And I keep doing that, man. That gave you some fantastic results.
Yeah, the other big thing that that I talked about with him was pH. And so, I mean, besides just the mash pH, getting that in range, I use lactic acid because it's the strongest acid I've been able to get in the liquid form. And he adjusts his Whirlpool down to 5.05 before he knocks out. And I had to use more than double the amount of lactic acid than I normally use to get my mash down in the Whirlpool. It was a obscene amount of acid, to the point where I emailed him. I was like,
"You're just like, is this all right? Is this
did I just make a kettle sour? Yeah, what's going on?
10 gallons of beer here."
And he was like, his response was basically like, "You can't get like a stronger phosphoric acid." And then so they use phosphoric acid because he doesn't like the way lactic tastes.
When you can use a lot less for phosphoric, it comes down much faster.
Yeah. Right. And I just think, like, since the carbonation got up to level F, like, when I kegged it, the beer was awesome. Like, loved it.
Did it have any hop burn at first or no?
No.
Just clean. No. Yeah.
I gelatin find it and just straight into the keg.
You can buy phosphoric acid from our friends at Five Star Chemicals.
There you go.
As an FYI.
Yes, I'm going to look into that. and his carbonation, he said carbonates, I think 2.75 volume, but I'm not going to go through, but something like that. Yeah, like 6%. A little bit higher than I was shooting, but.
Oh, wow. Doesn't taste like it. Yeah, it's really...
No, not at all. And even without the carbonation, it doesn't taste like it. You know, carbonation can sometimes, hide that, at least for me sometimes. And just even flat, cold, doesn't taste like that at all. That's great.
And frankly, a slightly higher alcohol to me goes along with the West Coast theme. Yeah, you've got a lager that's got more hops than usual. It's got slightly more alcohol than usual. It's thematic. It's okay.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, a lot of these West Coast ones, they'll push up into, higher pale ale, almost IPA strength, or sometimes even just IPA strength. And if they play it right, it tastes, it's a strong lager, but it tastes really good, and there's a nice hoppiness to it. It's playing towards that IPA side of the field without seeming like a, IPL or something.
Yeah.
It's very a clean,
so besides clean lager, besides the carbonation, because we don't really get these at all around here. What do you think I could do to improve beer?
It's a tough question because, like we were talking about earlier, the effect of the lack of carbonation is kind of so pervasive on aroma and on flavor that I think it's difficult to say what you would improve in other ways. But I think it's a really encouraging sign that we all agree that the hop aroma is fantastic. There's no vegetal. The hop flavor is fantastic. And I don't know. I mean, it seems to me, Coop, I'd be curious what you think about that. But it's, to me, I would have a hard time suggesting anything else for you to do until that gets fixed.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have to rebrew it then.
You have to do it again and send us some more.
Yeah.
With 26 millimeter caps.
Sorry to make you rebrew the beer. That was good.
Yeah.
So you can have more of it. That sucks.
The caps.
Yeah. So one thing we talked about when he was getting ready to send the beer, and the question came up of how to categorize it. And I pointed him to the style entry suggestions page of the BJCP website, which suggests enter it, which we judged it as a 34B, as a mixed style beer. And calling it a German Pils with dry hopping is what Ford basically suggests there. Similar for like Italian Pilsners and those kind of things. There's it's just a European Pilsner with dry hopping. And, if you want to declare the kind of dry hops, or you can declare it as just a Pils without saying German Pils. You could say whatever you want there. If it's a mixed style, you can kind of just give it a description of like, okay, it's this with that. That's maybe an underutilized category. And I don't know that every judge is going to get it right. If you call it a West Coast Pils, there's nowhere, it's hard to find a place to enter it somewhere else other than like in the specialties. So it's probably a way to go. But if you enter it as a regular German Pils, it's going to be way too hoppy. And if you just, don't give enough description, they might not get it. Also, what I think is if someone comes in, okay, this is a German Pils with dry hopping, expecting all the same things that you get in a German Pils. I mean, granted, it was fermented with German lager yeast, the Weihenstephaner strain, but it doesn't scream like, wow, this is like a German lager. It's, to me, lighter bodied, the hops push up over the top of the malt, so you don't get as much of that nice, crackery, rich malt. So from a judge's perspective, not necessarily, I don't think it would make this beer better. It tastes really good the way it is. You're having a little more of that, that kind of bready, rich malt character, the Pils malt character shine through would make it, say, German Pils a little better. But for what it is, I understand West Coast Pils, and I understand, hoppy Pils, that kind of thing. This is right in the territory for that. And I know, some of the breweries here in the East Bay that brew these kind of beers, they do a really good job with them. So kudos to them. And it's really nice that they were able to share some information with you and let you have some of the secrets to make a really good one. I'd like to learn better how to do that myself.
Yeah.
That sounds like managing your hop plant matter is one of the clutch elements of that. So that's cool to know. And the pH thing too, like there's no dark malts at all in here. So, if you don't adjust your pH downward, it's not going to be as bright and crisp. I don't think it's going to be old.
I think that North Star Pils is actually has less character than the Weyermann. I think that's why a lot of the brewers are shying away from the German malts for these beers.
Yeah.
Going with a North American, just straight Pilsner malt.
Well, yeah, I did kind of notice like Pilsner malt does have kind of a perfumey character. And this was not quite as perfumey as you might expect from a Pilsner, but I also thought maybe that had to do with the packaging or so forth. But yeah, I agree with Brian. And I understand your thought process. I've never heard of North Star Pilsner before.
The RAR?
Yeah.
I heard the RAR. Maybe just always call it RAR. Okay.
Yeah, it's I think I'd have to go look it up, but I believe it's a lighter version of their standard Pilsner malt. I could be wrong, or it could be
interesting.
It's different. It's different.
That's good enough, man.
Could be more robust. It could be lighter. I'm not really sure, but it. He was very big on it.
Another thing that a judge might knock this down if they're being a nitpick about it too would be the alcohol content. If they detected that, you know, being towards 6%. I didn't really detect it in this one, but anyone else entering a 6% beer, you can't just assume that a judge is going to understand, oh, this, you know, German pills, why is it 6.5%? You know, whereas if you understand the West Coast, you know, hoppy lager, hoppy pills, you'll understand it just fine. So it's getting more, you know, it's getting very popular out here. I don't know if you get many of them in other parts of the country there or in the middle of the country, but hey, homebrew one and explore them, get, you know, come visit us out here. Find out if you have great local ones there, you know, wherever you are, love to talk about those too.
All right. Well, if that's it with this beer, let's take a break. And John, you're staying on here to talk about your German pills coming up next, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. All right. So let's take a break, everyone. We'll come right back here with some more Pilsner, which is always my favorite thing to do here on Dr. Homebrew. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, thanks for sticking around, everybody. We are back here with John, and he has a German pills for us. But before we do that, Matthew in the chat is talking about North Star pills. And he says, in terms of sensory, North Star Pills has more, quote, sweet attributes versus the more grainy and crackery attributes found in raw premium pills.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. So,
thanks for that, Matt. I appreciate that. Which, yeah, I mean, that would definitely lend well to that sort of West Coast or American style Pilsner, you know, change it up just a little bit, but it still has that like attack of a European Pilsner malt. You know what I mean? Maybe not the perfumey, but it still has that brightness that you want. Okay, so this is a German Pils. Is this a beer you've done a few times before, John?
Yeah, done a handful of these.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah, they're great, man. They're absolutely great. Cooper, why don't you dive into this one, buddy?
Okay. This one had a nice hiss upon opening, so no problem there at all. And the cap looked right on the lid. It had a little pressure when you opened it. And I did judge them in this order last night. So I was like, oh, let's see how a second beer does. These caps look different. It was just fine.
Yeah, right away the head was like 2 inches long when I poured it just now. I'm like, okay. Yeah, here we go.
This guy knows what he's doing. This one has that pleasant German Pils malt character right up front at a medium level. Mixed with a medium floral hop. I'm getting some faint sulfur in here, but it's in line with what you can get in a, you know, good well-brewed lager. Then that sometimes you get a little sulfur poking out, and sometimes that blows off after a little while, but seems appropriate. No diacetyl or acetaldehyde. It's clean. Seems just a touch on the hoppy side for style, perhaps. Getting a little more of that, you know, a bigger floral component in there. But it's really pleasant what is there. It's kind of blending with that malt nicely. Appearance wise is appropriately, you know, a light yellow color, with a medium high lasting white head of mostly fine foam. Like you pointed out, it sticks around pretty well on this, finer foam, good, you know, good consistency, very, very clear beer, brilliantly so. You know, just about perfect for appearance. You can't not give it 3 out of 3 for that. And I was at 10 out of 12 for aroma. Flavor-wise, again, that clean German Pils malt flavors in there at a medium level. It does have a firm, you know, medium to medium high bitterness, medium high, I guess you could say. Sometimes I go crazy with the splitting of hairs. But clean lagering, evident, medium flowery hop notes, balance is even in the flavor. It's, you know, unlike in the aroma, I guess that the hops won by a bit there, but here it's pretty even. The beer is quite dry. Pils malt and floral hops linger in the aftertaste together, not getting any DMS or any off flavors, very cleanly lagered. In the mouthfeel, it's a medium light body beer without much of an edge. There's nothing biting or harsh here, you know, despite having a fair amount of bitterness. Medium high carbonation is just, it's sticking around pretty well, and it is perky, not getting any warmth or creaminess or astringency. It's, you know, pretty much where it should be for mouthfeel. 4 out of 5 there. Overall impression is very clean and enjoyable German pils, nicely lagered, and a well-designed recipe. I think it could use just a touch more sulfate if you want to let the hops play with that kind of flinty edge that some of these have. But it's good as it is. I wouldn't go crazy with that either. Go too wild with minerals and Brian will tell his rock story. Good carbonation level.
Someone should just mail me some rocks to lick sometime on the air. That'll be like one of our second segment. Will be like, I'll lick different kinds of rock and tell you what I think.
Okay, here we go.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, if we had a Patreon, that would be Patreon content right there.
Getting a little more of a buttery quality in the flint versus the obsidian here.
If we can raise $5,000 on Patreon between now and the end of the year, I will lick every rock you send me.
That's right. Patreon.com/earsup. Go ahead.
I just cut my tongue on this corpse. God, I'm bleeding. Okay. Yeah. Good. I really appreciated the good. I mentioned the good carbonation level because it was different from the other bottle that I just tasted. The bottling technique seems great. Very tasty beer and very pretty. I landed at a 39 on this one. I thought it was excellent. So yeah. See what Brian thinks.
All right, definitely. Sure.
Well, I am not going to ask you about your homebrew club again in the same episode. That would be weird. It's a bottle inspection. It's funny. I drank this one first. Appropriate size, gentle hiss, appropriate fill, no sediment. And it was, you know, whatever, you know, probably the right size cap. So that was helpful. Aroma, I got medium spicy or noble hop aroma, medium malt aroma. It's funny, we were talking about Pilsner malt and I had made a specific note, less perfumey than some examples of Pilsner malt, but still appropriate and pleasant. I was looking forward into time or what was happening with that? I don't know. I was just writing down what I assessed. I thought it was crisp, no off aromas, 8 out of 12. Appearance, 3 out of 3. You know, I've had mine sitting out for a while, so the head is long gone, but it was a very large head at first. White, fine bubbles, settled somewhat quickly, but it was very persistent. This beer is crystal clear, straw color. It's really an exemplary lager. This is what you would, you're pouring a homebrew lager, you hope it looks like this. So it was, even my wife, who hates beer, was sitting in the living room with me while I was judging this. And she looked at that and said, wow, that's crystal clear. So even non-beer drinkers appreciated how clear that sample was. Initial malt flavor was low, but it was interesting. It built up to sort of a medium level and mid palate, as did the hop bitterness. And the balance is slightly toward bitter, which is fine for Pilsner. It wasn't overwhelming. It's more just a slight tilt toward bitterness for me. It was well attenuated. Finish is long and pleasant and balanced. As with the aroma, it didn't have quite the perfumey Pils malt character, but it's still Pilsner malt, and there's no obligation that, you know, this is a style. There are a range of ingredients. Not everyone has the taste identical. Not everyone has to have that Pilsner-y, perfumey character leap out of the glass at you to be a Pilsner beer. So I enjoyed the flavor a lot. I give that 15 out of 20. mouthfeel. Body is medium low. Carbonation was, I thought, on the low end, kind of medium low, which is less than expected for style. The bitterness to me provides a little bit of the bite that's missing from the carbonation, but still, I think that if it's not warming, airtight, or it was astringent or creamy, it certainly was airtight enough to retain carbonation. You know, 4 out of 5 mouthfeel. I fundamentally, you know, I think we were talking before about bottling out of a keg. Looking at the bottle, there's no sediment. It's bottled out of a keg. I won't belabor the point on this show because we've talked ad nauseum on the show about how hard it is to retain the carbonation when you bottle out of the keg.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a great beer. You know, getting a little bit more carbonation would take this over 40. I gave an overall impression of 7 for a total of 37, which is very good. And I think maybe just a little bit more carbonation might easily push this up to, you know, 40. And that's, we talked about that in the last segment a little bit about how carbonation can have kind of percolate through. You know, here I think the aroma, you know, you got a good score for aroma, a good score for flavor. That might just give that little bit of additional push to get up to 40 on this beer. And I made a couple of notes about, I'm curious what malt you use. And I suspect it's going to be that RAR North Star that you used in the other one, but you know, I'll be curious to find out. You know, I think that for this one, to me, that's the one variable that is really hard to deal with when you're bottling off a keg. But if you can get that nailed, I think this can easily be, you know, 40, 41, 42 point beer just as it is with no other modification. So excellent. Thank you for sharing. I really enjoyed this. And I'm going to finish this, the last of this bottle that I got sitting in front of me.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
I like it as well. I think that it's just to give my 2 cents for a second. Yeah. There is like a, I don't know, like a creaminess that I don't really think is supposed to be there. It's sort of at the top end for some reason. I don't know why I taste weird things sometimes, but like the malt's good. It's aggressively bitter and that's all good. And then there's like a creaminess where there's a point where they sort of blend together. And then there's a lot of like acidity to it. Yeah, I don't know. It's, I would go 39.
Okay.
There you go.
One thing I will say too is that the carbonation on these, on a German Pils, can vary from medium to high. So yeah, it doesn't need to be pushing like Hefeweizen level carbonations, you know, three volumes or something, you know, 2.5.
Oh, no, I agree. But mine was like medium low in carbonation. It was down. Mine, I got the impression, to me, I perceived that to be less than medium carbonation. But I agree with it. It doesn't have to leap out of the glass to be a Pilsner.
Yeah, as you're perceiving it, I kept seeing that head and it's easily roused and it kept sticking around for a good long while. But that's also to do with proteins and stuff. But I had the impression of like a medium towards medium high carbonation myself. So we disagreed there a little bit, but it's just like one side or the other of that.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's also an issue of the 29mm caps, perhaps like we talked about in the last segment. I wonder if this could also be maybe maybe if there's some effect of that with this. I don't know.
These are the standard caps, though. These are the regular ones.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I'd love to hear the recipe and what you did.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So this was 90% Pilsner malt and 10% acidulated malt to get my mash down and hit 5.2 in the mash, and then bittered with German Magnum at 60 for 24 IBUs, and then whirlpooled with this is 10-gallon batch.
Wait, John, let's back up for that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. When you said the mash was 5.2, did you measure it at 5.2 or did you add that 5.2 chemical to get it to be at 5.2?
I measured it at 5.2.
Okay, good, good. Sorry about that. I wanted to make sure it was clear for the audience and me.
Yeah, and actually this is good because I brewed this beer after the West Coast Pils, and I had made the comment about I had to add so much extra acid than I normally do in the mash. Like, why aren't you using acid malt? And so I picked up some acid malt. I had to use a lot more than expected with my water, but anyway, so here we are. So
I wonder if that's what I'm tasting. I wonder if that weird that does 10% acidulated malt, would that affect the flavor at all?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a little sharper, a little more attack to it.
Okay.
An accent.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, I haven't tasted any out of the blue for a long time, but yeah, I mean, anytime you add an ingredient at a 10% level, it's gonna taste like something. It's gonna add something to the beer.
Well, and a lot of times too, the acidulated malt isn't like they magically make it more acidic. They spray acid on the shit. It's, you know, it's just, it's acidulated malt. Right. They take regular malt and make it more acidic by using acid. Mm. So, you know, you could, I think having it in the mash, you know, if you want to get to a certain pH, which a 5.2 is a good goal for, you know, for beer like this, you know, it's on the lower end. You can go up to, you know, 5.3, 5.4 if you want. But yeah, it's, you know, the acidulated malt gets you there, but adding acid to your mash will get you there too in a similar way. So it's, you know, an easy hand on either one would probably be
better than the other? Because I mean, the acidulated malt, you're not controlling, it's not necessarily like Pilsner malt. You know,
right?
Or you don't know what base malt it is, and so maybe that has an effect on the flavor of the beer also at that amount.
Well, when I've used as like a German acid malt, it probably is just Pils malt with acid. Maybe I don't know if you use the same one, but I use it once in a while.
It was Weyermann Pils malt.
Okay.
Weyermann Pils malt.
Okay. Acidulated.
90%. Yeah. Mm. So. Yeah, my understanding, I mean, my chemistry dates back a while now, but I would assume that all the acid that's on the malt is going to disassociate into the mash and basically become the same exact thing as adding lactic acid to the mash. So I thought that's what they were spraying on the malt to create acidulated malt, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, technically, for Rheinheitsgebot purposes, you know, in Germany, they would essentially, you know, if you mash and you let this malt just kind of sit out, there's enough lactic acid bacteria on the husks, it'll start growing. It's kind of like making a kettle sour in a way. And then it'll get acidy. I mean, maybe some places you spray it, maybe they do it in Germany now, but back in the day, that was how they got around Rheinheitsgebot we're not adding anything to malt, really. We're just putting it over here and letting it get acidic, and then we're adding it in to change our pH. So, I mean, where was I going with this? I think the point is that it's in there, and it's dissolvable just like anything else. You want to, with malt, you're trying to convert the starch and then dissolve the sugar. The lactic acid ideally would dissolve into the solution of your malt. At least, you know, not all of it's ever going to because of just how diffusion works and everything else. But ideally, a lot of it will. And that's why you're putting it in. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a biochemist. My chemistry is a long way behind me, too. And weirdly, most of what I know about chemistry comes from homebrewing and LED lighting. But that's just it is two very different things. But both involve a lot of, you know, molecules and atoms and mixing stuff up.
All right.
Yeah.
LED lighting. Okay.
Let's let John continue with his recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Oh, you guys there?
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
We lost our audio.
I derailed this real good there for a second.
Well, yeah, it does say, I found a link that says Weyermann acidulated malt is produced by using lactic acid, which is generated by on grain natural occurring lactic bacteria. I don't know. Yeah, that's, I don't know what that might be a translation.
Yeah, that sounds weird. So
it contains a natural lactic acid.
There you go.
Derived from unhopped beer wort. So they take acidified beer wort and they acidulate the malt with that. So that's actually Rheinheitsgebot. So that's cool.
That's kind of neat. Yeah. All right, John, go finish your recipe, please.
So German Magnum at 60 minutes for 24 IBUs, and then Mittelfrüh was Whirlpool at 205 or 210, whatever, for 20 minutes, and that was a half a pound or 20 IBU.
Mm. Okay. What do you guys think?
So I'm just like, I'm going to sip a little bit of the poppy pills here too. And like the, you know,
I think you're just rubbing it in that you have, different. You have a carbonation.
I'm just interested because it's just one of the main differences between these two recipes is just the hops and using Mosaic instead of, you know, what was it?
Magnum.
Hallertau or.
Yeah.
So the other thing is this one, I overshot big time, and this one ended up clocking in at 5.8%, supposed to be 4.8. Yeah, so that might be part of the creaminess. I think the alcohol.
It's really good. I like it a lot. I would, you know, dial that alcohol back a little bit, then make sure you carbonate the bottles you send in to a competition. But this is a great recipe. It's really nice, and I think you're doing everything right. You've got a lot of good tools at your disposal, conical, and you know, was this like, again the what was the yeast on this one?
3470. It was I repitched, collected the yeast and pitched it.
Oh, okay, perfect. I wonder. Yeah, it seemed a little hoppy to me, but you know, not like oddly so. But sometimes you get a little hop carryover from the yeast, especially as it's been through all that dry hopping, but. Well, you pulled the yeast off before.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it had a fair amount of hops in the beer.
Yeah, oddly, about the same amount. This one.
Similar. Okay, just a different hop.
40 something IBUs.
Okay.
Whatever. So.
Cool. Yeah.
Different hop.
To me, like the ones I drank tonight, both really good beers. I went back to the hoppy pills, and it's still really nice. And
I bet.
Dry and nice character.
Yeah. John, do you have any questions for the boys?
No, I think it gives me some motivation to rebrew that West Coast Pils and
good.
Send it back. And maybe, actually, I had sent pretty much the same recipe of the German Pils 2 years ago and scored better. So I have to revisit that recipe and that episode and see if I do. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, yeah. Like
yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing it. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Coming back for more abuse.
Coming with a hybrid recipe between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, you know.
I'm glad there was one bottle that came carbonated.
I'm glad I got it. I really like a good hoppy pill.
You had honestly, a pretty good grin on your face.
I would have been disappointed if I got it. They'd be like, oh, what am I going to do with this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So go throw away the random caps that you got from wherever. And,
chuck them. Those are the gold ones.
Recycle.
Yeah. Yep. The gold ones. All right, John. Well, if that's it, we'll let you go, man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Cool. It doesn't sound like it, but we appreciate it. You gave us your beer.
Absolutely. It does. Yeah. No,
hopefully people can learn from the crown cap. I had no idea.
Check the caps, brothers. Yeah. Yes. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap things up here on Dr. Homebrew. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up, you might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, thanks for sticking around, everybody. We are going to wrap things up here. If you want to be a contestant, I guess, or whatever, a guest, a beer brewer person on Dr. Homebrew, email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. and he will get you all sorted out. We take anything fermented. I mean, you know what? I wonder if anything unfermented. If you want to send us our a mocktail that you're working on, or a canned cocktail, or a bottled cocktail, do that too, baby. Whatever you want, we will sit and we will judge it. And if we don't know what this thing is, we'll find somebody who does, and we'll pull them in on the show. And we want to help you out. We want to help you produce the best liquids possible. You know what I mean?
That's, you know, if you want to just take your wort and put it in a 2-liter, you know, Coke bottle, the plastic ones, you put that top on, mail it to us and see if it explodes on the way. But we'll taste your wort, or we'll taste whatever it makes on, sure, on the way to us, or we'll clean up our living room after it explodes in our face.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, send any forced wort tests to Brian Shar.
Yeah.
123 Fake Street.
America, USA. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, everybody, we are going to get out of here then. Thank you very much for supporting the show. If you are listening live, hang on just a sec. We have our good friend Barry from Lucky Envelope Brewing in Seattle, which I believe is somewhere in Ohio. And he's going to come on. We're talking a bunch of cool beer and judging stuff. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't really think we settled on exactly the topic, but it's fine. We'll figure it out, because Barry is a wealth of knowledge. So hang on with that. And until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Cheers.